Mercy told herself that the reek of the hospital wasn't any worse than that of the farm in Waterford, Virginia. That was a lie. It was worse than the summer when she'd gone out to the back 20 and found their bull lying with its legs in the air, its belly distended with the bloat of rot and a crawling carpet of flies. This was worse than that, because it wasn't the decomposition of beef lying in the sun, flesh dripping away grey and mushy. This was worse, because after a while the bull had faded and gone, its smell washed away by the summer rains, and its remains buried by her stepfather and brother. After a while she'd altogether forgotten where the creature had fallen and died, and it was as if it had never happened. But that never happened here. Not even at the cleanest hospital in all the Confederacy, where fewer men died and more men recovered to return to the front than in any other in the North or South or even Europe. Not even in the wake of Captain Sally's strenuous, almost maddening, insistence on cleanliness. Enormous pots of water boiled constantly, and mops were pushed in two-hour shifts by legions of retained men who were healed enough to help, but not enough to fight. Paul Forks was one of these, Harvey Klein was another, and Medford Simmons a third, and Anderson Ruby a fourth. And if she knew more of their names, Mercy Lynch could have listed another dozen maimed and helpful souls. They kept the floors from staining red and helped carry the endless trays of food and medicines, tagging along in the wake of the doctors and helping the nurses manage the unruly ones who awoke afraid. And even with the help of these men, and two dozen nurses like herself, and five doctors working around the clock, and a whole contingent of laundry and kitchen women, the smell never, ever went away. It worked itself into the wrinkles in Mercy's clothes and lurked in her hair. It collected under her fingernails. She carried it with her always. "Captain Sally?" Mercy called out. And as soon as the words were spoken, she spied the woman standing near the front door, accompanied by another woman and a man. Sally was small and pale, with dark hair parted severely down the middle of her head and a plain black dress buttoned tightly from waist to chin. She was leaning forward to better hear the other woman speak, while the gentleman behind them shuffled back and forth on his feet, moving his gaze left to right. "Mercy." Captain Sally wended through the maze of cots to meet the young nurse. She had stopped shouting. "Mercy, I need a word with you. I'm very sorry, but it's important. Would you join us?" She indicated the anxious-looking man and the stoic woman with a New Englander's ramrod posture. "Who are those people?" she asked, without agreeing to anything. "They have a message for you,"